I like it.
I love it.
Sad.
Angry.
Share it. Retweet it.
My feed.
We're scrolling through Twitter feeds, Facebook feeds, and even podcast feeds on My Feed today. And in the hot seat is Caroline Overington. She's associate editor at the Australian newspaper, and she's also the host of the new podcast, Nowhere Child, Missing William Tyrrell. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So the podcast launches today. Tell me about it. What's your elevator pitch?
Nowhere Child. So William Tyrrell is a three-year-old boy who disappeared from the township of Kendal in September 2014. Now, he was the little boy that was wearing the Spider-Man suit at the time. And he was there 1 minute and gone the next. In fact, one detective has said to me, it's almost like the X-Files. Nobody heard anything. Nobody saw anything. There are no witnesses to an abduction. There are no forensic traces. Just imagine, snap your fingers, gone. And that's one thing. But the other thing is the investigation has been going on now for 5 years, and it's been bedeviled by a million different gremlins and problems, turf wars, miscalculations, missteps, let's just be honest and say mistakes. And he hasn't been found. We don't know what's happened to him. So the podcast is not trying to say, well, let's find William Tyrrell, we will find him. It's looking at, missing children, I think, haunt the Australian imagination. They become part of us in a way, and William is now among their number. And it behooves us, I think, to examine the circumstances of his disappearance and also the ways in which we conduct investigations into missing people.
So how do you explore these themes? Who do you talk to? How do you tell that story?
You know, it's incredibly problematic, in part because William was a foster child. So he was in the care of the state when he went missing. Now, that was something that nobody was allowed to know for nigh on 3 years. Now, that's a really long time. And you had people very confused about the case because nobody could come out and plead for William, not his biological parents and not his foster parents. So you had this really bizarre situation where people who were described as family friends would be trotted out to say, could you help us find this child? I mean, the culture of secrecy has without question hampered the investigation, and certainly it makes the telling of William's tale more problematic. But I feel that just because there are people who won't speak on the record, just because bureaucracy insists upon silence, just because there is a culture of cover-up, it doesn't mean we shouldn't have a go, because there are always people, Patricia, always, there are always people who want to tell the truth. There always are. And it's just a matter of going out there and trying to find them.
All right, let's move on to another thing, which I know has been, getting your attention. It's got mine too. A lot of people in our feeds discussing The Final Quarter, a documentary about Adam Goods, which aired on Channel 10 on Thursday night. Did you watch it, and what did you make of it?
Well, Patricia, I should say at the outset that I'm a Swans ambassador. The Sydney Swans have a range of people in Sydney who are sort of engaged in the creative professions, writers, artists, actors, also heads of business. Mike Willacy was a Swans ambassador. And so I had an opportunity to see the film back when it debuted at the Sydney Film Festival. And I was gobsmacked. And I felt to myself, I didn't really understand the magnitude of his suffering until it was put together in that way, in that documentary, in part because there's no narrative, there's no voiceover. This is just how things happened. This is just people talking and saying the things that they said at the time. And it's very powerful, I felt. Also, I felt that there were people, and I know really good people, who say, they went along to the football, they heard everybody booing, it seemed like a bit of fun, and they started booing too. But for Adam Goods, it wasn't 5 minutes at the football. It was the cumulative effect every time he touched the ball, every time he went onto the ground, that tremendous boo from the crowd that just eroded his self-confidence, eroded his esteem. And he started out trying to be so positive. And as the film goes on, you can you actually see his stance change. He becomes more hunched and more haunted as the booing grows louder and the critics grow louder. I found it very profoundly moving, profoundly moving.
Yeah, I found it the same, and it kind of gives you pause, doesn't it, to think about just, you know, how much things have changed since that period of time.
Yeah,
too.
And we thought we did a good job at the Swans of taking care of him. But when you look at it again, you just think, gee, did we do enough? Did everyone do enough?
Now, you've seen a lot of conversation about a book in your feed, another old media meets new media kind of story, Three Women. What's it about?
Well, I have a lot of books in my feeds because I write them and a lot of my friends write them. And so I always assume that everybody on Twitter is talking about books, and I'm often surprised to find that this is not in fact the case. But there's one book that's out this year. It's called Three Women, and it's a study, Patricia, of female desire and the trouble you can get into, or it can get you into. And this is something I think that has only really been explored in a few ways previously. There's always the idea that desire is dangerous for women, because traditionally it was, because you could get pregnant and that could be for women a catastrophe. And also there was the issue of keeping women chaste for marriage, and virginity was very important. Now, this book is very different. So it looks, what it is, it's a writer from The New Yorker whose name is Lisa Tadeo, and she spent 10 years talking to three women about pivotal events in their sexual history. So in one of them, the woman's husband has lost all desire for her, and the marriage, after many years, has gone flat. He will no longer kiss her on the mouth. He says that he doesn't like the sensation. So she's craving physical intimacy, but also she wants to be seen, you know, and I think you can probably guess, so begins an affair with some catastrophic consequences. And then there's two other women, but I won't give too much away, but they're real life stories. Now, I did something really silly and ordered the book from a bookstore, and so mine has only just arrived. But my girlfriends who ordered it on their iBooks or their Kindles,
I am you.
All right, they're sort of, you know, 2/3 in or 3/4 of the way in, and they're like, "Oh my God, it's just amazing!" Because I think it's so frank, it's so raw, and we don't often talk about the ways in which women can crave sex. And it can get them into really difficult situations.
Pickles.
Yeah, really difficult situations in a way that perhaps we didn't talk about once before.
Caroline, always a pleasure to talk to you, and congratulations and good luck with your podcast.
Oh, thank you kindly.
Caroline Overington is Associate Editor at the Australian newspaper. She's also the host of this new podcast, Nowhere Child, Missing William Tyrrell. Find the podcast online now. It's out in the world. Look for it. It's easy to find wherever you get your podcasts. Obviously not the ABC Listen app. It's not an ABC podcast, although we've got some good ones. RN Drive, The Party Room. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always do that, don't I? This is RN Drive.